Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. We have been in a series called Facing Your Fears in the New Year, and we're going to finish that series today. And we're going to look at a topic or a subject that every person in this room is familiar with. It's the subject of overcoming loneliness. Loneliness. That's a fear that many of us deal with. Recently, I heard about an elderly woman who was a Christian lady who basically lived all alone. She was still living in a home by herself, but she was really confined. And so she had to rely on the care of others, whether it was family members or friends or church members or neighbors. And she kept a diary. For many years she had kept a diary. And so this lady passed away. She went to be with Jesus. And there was a period of time where no one even realized it. There were probably a couple days there where no one even missed her. And so when her fellow friends and family actually discovered and they found her belongings, they found this diary. And they looked through it. And, of course, a lot of the entries really was just kind of normal, everyday entries. But towards the end of her life, they found three words on the page. No one came. No one came. No one came. It's horrible to be lonely. But, you know, there is no stage of life where we don't experience loneliness. It's not just for elderly people who live alone. There was a study that was recently put out by the American Council of Life Insurance Companies. Now listen to this. This is going to blow you away. The loneliest groups of people in America, according to this study, were college students. College students in the prime of their lives were deemed to be lonely. Next on the list were divorced people. And then there were welfare recipients, then single mothers, rural students and housewives, and finally the elderly. You know, the fact of the matter is you can be in all different kinds of situations in life and be lonely. You can be rich and be lonely. You can be popular and be lonely. You can be extremely successful and be lonely. Some of the most successful people in the world are also some of the loneliest people. Statistics tell us that 50% of Americans feel lonely most or all of the time, while 78% feel lonely some of the time. Reminds me of a story of a little boy. Even children are not immune to this. Children can feel loneliness and sense it. A little boy went to camp one summer, and he was kind of a shy boy, and he didn't really want to go, and so he went, and he spent most of his time there very lonely. The reason his parents knew this is he sent a message back to him saying, "There are 50 boys in this camp, and I sure wish there were only 49. All of us understand loneliness. Well, today I want to look and see what the Scripture says about loneliness so that we can overcome loneliness. God doesn't want you to be lonely. God even said early in the Bible that it is not good for man to be alone. And so today I want you, let's take a look at loneliness through the eyes of one of the most successful people who ever lived, King Solomon. And I believe that we can learn through his take on loneliness, and I think it'll help us to overcome loneliness. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 8 through 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Solomon says, "There is a person without a companion, without even a son or a brother, and though there is no end to all his struggles, his eyes are still not content with riches." And he's talking to himself now. "So who am I struggling for?" he asks, "and depriving myself from good. This too is futile and a miserable task. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this chance we've had to be together already. We have experienced your presence. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that have been shared and just for the way that your Spirit has been moving in this service. now as we look on this subject of loneliness, I pray that you would just help me to speak on it. May your Spirit speak through me and reach people today who need the message. And maybe they don't need it right now at this time in their lives, but there may be a time where they may be very lonely. We go through seasons of loneliness in all of our lives. Help us to know how to handle that, and help us to know and understand how we can be a stronger community of faith. As it says in your word, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And please, Holy Spirit, help me to preach today by your power and for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, within every single one of us, there is an inherent need to feel important, to be loved, to be valued, to belong. God has wired each, it doesn't matter what your personality is like, if you're outgoing or if you're shy, every one of us has a need to be loved and to belong. And so every one of us, if those needs aren't met in a normal, regular, and consistent pattern of interactions, then we're going to experience this thing called loneliness. What is loneliness? It's a feeling of alienation, a feeling of being cut off, unnoticed, unnecessary, unneeded, uncared for, and unloved. Someone who is lonely has a feeling something like this. If you were to die, no one would even come to your funeral. Now again, loneliness is not the same as being alone. Don't get those two mixed up. We all have to be alone sometimes, and sometimes being alone is good. Sometimes we can draw strength from being alone. But loneliness, rather, is a feeling of isolation. It's a feeling that others are far from you and they do not care, and no one cares about you. People today, I believe, like never before in our culture, are trying to escape this feeling of loneliness, because loneliness is rampant. Do you know more people live alone than at any other time in American history? I believe some 27% of all Americans live by themselves. Single households are the largest growing demographic. And so people try to compensate for that. Sometimes we work in solitary careers, and we live in gated communities, and we put our garage doors down, and we never or rarely interact with people. I could even talk about neighbors. We don't know our neighbors like we used to. We don't sit out on our front porches. And many people really struggle with a feeling of loneliness. And I believe the power of social media is proof of that. Now, I'm not against social media. In fact, it's a very useful tool. I found it very useful in ministry and very necessary in ministry today. But some of the posts that people put out on social media tell me they're lonely. They need community. I mean, when people put stuff on there like, well, I just got my teeth cleaned, or I've got an ingrown toenail, or we went out to eat tonight, then that's telling me they have a longing or a need for community. They need to belong to a group or to other people. And one of the greatest problems in America today is the growth of gangs. Gang activity has changed, and I know it's not a new phenomenon, but you know what? It's growing. In my lifetime, I have seen Springfield, Missouri drastically change. And I think the murders and the things that happen in Springfield regularly now largely are due to gang-related activity. Have you ever stopped to think why? What's the attraction? I mean, if you get in the gang, probably you're not going to live a very long lifespan. Probably you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're probably going to end up in prison. And there's, by the way, that has nothing to do with ethnicity. There are all different kinds of ethnic gangs. It has nothing to do with what color of your skin is. Lots of people are in gangs. Why? Why do people join gangs? Why do young men especially join gangs where they might require them to rob a store or even kill someone to be a part of that gang? Well, I've been reading a book by this young pastor named Dottie Lewis. He's an African-American pastor in Atlanta. And listen to what he says. He says, the overwhelming reason for kids joining street gangs is to meet the needs that were not fulfilled by their family, school, church, or community. Some people even engage in destructive behavior because they're lonely. And a lot of social problems that we face are due to loneliness. There was a guy that won the Teacher of the Year in America a few years back. And he wrote a book about his interactions and correspondence with high school students. And he said that in his discussions with them, he realized that high school students are very, very lonely. And this is what he said. Listen to this. He said that our problems with drugs, sex, and suicide among teens largely stem from their feeling of loneliness. So some people act out negatively or destructively because of loneliness. So here's what I want to ask you today, and I want to run through from this scripture using it as our text. If loneliness is so pervasive in our culture, if it's such a normal experience, then we need to be asking ourselves, how do we overcome it? How can we have victory over loneliness? Because just like all of our fears, God doesn't want us to live in a spirit of fear. He wants us to be overcomers, and we can overcome. And so today, let me give you four dimensions that will help you to overcome loneliness. Very quickly, we're going to go through these on our listing sheet. First, you need to understand there is a mental dimension to overcoming loneliness. There is a mental dimension. All I mean by that is the first thing we need to do is a little self-analysis. We need to analyze why we are lonely. We need to understand we're very vulnerable in our loneliness, but what is it that has made you lonely today? There are all kinds of reasons, and we need to recognize the reasons for our loneliness. Sometimes people are lonely because of a tragic event in their lives. The first one that comes to my mind is someone loses their spouse or a close companion. I think that death is one of the main reasons why some people feel lonely. Death can be very difficult. When someone loses the person that they have lived with for a number of years, I'm thinking about spouses now. The Bible literally says the two are becoming one flesh. That's difficult. And some of you know firsthand the loneliness you're experiencing when that spouse or that person you love is not there anymore. And by the way, this is also one of the greatest fears that's expressed across the board, that I might lose my spouse. And what will I do if that happens? And that's devastating. And that could be the reason why you're going through this profound sense of loneliness today. But you know what? There are others that deal with loneliness for other reasons. And something that I believe is just as devastating as death. And I'll just tell you, we've not given it its fair due, or we've not talked about it and probably helped people as much as we should in our church. I'm going to try to do a better job, but it's divorce. Divorce can be just as devastating as death, probably more so. I'd say that divorce can be more devastating. I mean, when somebody dies, at least there's a funeral. There's closure. With divorce comes all sorts of feelings. Feelings of guilt and condemnation. What could I have done to prevent this? And that person, a lot of times there's still interaction even after the divorce. And you have to live with this sense of rejection, or I'm a failure. And so lots of circumstances can bring on loneliness. And we need to not condemn people. We don't need to be throwing rocks to people, at people that have been through this. We need to throw ropes and help people. I think that's what Jesus would have us to do. And so we need to understand not only the circumstances, but sometimes we need to understand that transition in life can cause loneliness. We live in a fast-paced society, a society of change. And we live in a society where people are restless and people are always moving. Sometimes when you have to change your location of where you live, that can bring on loneliness. And sometimes it's beyond your control. If you're a child, you don't have any say-so. If your father gets a promotion or your mother gets a new job, you have to move with them. And sometimes children are lonely because they've had to move into a new school district or to a new place. Sometimes as a senior citizen, you have to move and leave the home that you've lived in for a number of years. And it's hard. And so transition can sometimes bring on loneliness. So just do a little self-assessment. If you're sensing loneliness today, and determine why it is that you're feeling lonely. But not only that, you need to recognize the emotions that accompany loneliness. There are some negative emotions that accompany, and we're emotional beings, by the way. Jesus was an emotional being when he walked on this earth. It's not a sin to be emotional. It's part of our biological makeup and physiological makeup. But listen, there are some negative emotions that plague us when we are lonely. You see, a lonely person oftentimes is a frustrated person. A depressed person. Someone who feels that something just doesn't match up. Lonely people ask questions like this. What's wrong with me? Where can I go? Isn't there somebody out there who loves me and cares about me? Those are thoughts that run through the minds of a lonely person. And because of that, we need to thirdly recognize the temptations that come with being lonely. Again, sometimes people just pass their time away, and really they don't do anything that harmful. Maybe they're just not interacting with people, and they're sitting at home by themselves, watching TV or whatever. But sometimes you can get into some very dangerous patterns in your life, destructive behavior, because of loneliness. And there's a reason for that. The lonely person is looking for an outlet. They want to remove this bad feeling that they have inside. They want to feel better about themselves. And of course, they're going to divert their attention from their painful emotions. And that's why they get into things like pornography and drugs and alcohol and even extramarital affairs. That all is brought about by an intense loneliness, a searching or a desire to find something to fulfill the hole in their heart. And I really believe that some of those things are exploding today. I think about the use of pornography and drugs and alcohol. And I think some of that is brought on, a lot of that, by loneliness. Loneliness. So we need to just recognize some of the reasons why we are lonely. But not only do we do that, we move to the next step after we've done some self-analysis. And second, there is a motivational aspect. Not only is there a mental aspect to loneliness, but there's a motivational aspect to overcoming loneliness. You see, back in the text, back in verse 8, Solomon has assessed the reason for his loneliness. And I think really his loneliness was ambition. I didn't even talk about that, but he's a very ambitious man, and he has let his relationships go. With his family, with his friends, with people that he should have cared about. The number one thing in his life was making money and being successful. That's what he says here in verse 8. He says, there's a person without a companion, not even a son or a brother, and though there is no end to all his struggles, his eyes are still not content with riches. So he has assessed the problem. Then you get into verse 9 and there's a motivation to do something about it. You see, as long as you're lonely and you wallow in self-pity and you say, well, there's no hope for me, there's nothing I can do to change my circumstances, oh, woe is me, then you're going to remain lonely. And you're going to do something to self-medicate and probably something that is not beneficial to yourself. Will you just be motivated today? That's half the battle. These verses in verses 9 through 12 talk about a motivation. Solomon says very succinctly, two are better than one. And he's seeing that there's value and security and blessing in having relationships and seeking relationships with others. And so that's what the first thing you need to do is just be motivated. Be motivated to do whatever it takes to promote, protect, and preserve relationships in your life. You need to protect the godly relationships that are in your life. What I mean by that is that life was meant to be lived in community with other people. And there's not a better community to live in than a godly community. And there's not any perfect churches out there, but there are people who love Jesus and people who gather in this church week after week. They love the Lord. And rather than isolate yourself, you ought to want to be motivated to be around people like that, to make deep friendships. And yeah, I know we're not all alike in this church. We're different ages, we have different occupations, we have different interests, but even if you're different from someone else, you can have some of the deepest relationships of your whole life right here in the body of Christ. And so you don't need to isolate yourself. You need to be a part. Listen, God wants to bring some people into your life who can help you. And we've already been talking about it. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but a life group is a great place to do that. Because everybody needs a place to belong. And life groups are, they're worth the time. It's worth the effort. It's worth the investment to get involved in a life group and to get involved in the lives of other people. Because just like Mary Ann said, those people will bear your burdens and they'll share your joys. And these relationships are going to make us stronger. They make us stronger. I don't know about you, but I think back in my own life, and it's probably Christian brothers and sisters that have blessed me and benefited me the most outside of my own family, my own parents. They're the ones who a lot of times spoke to me when I needed a word of confidence or assurance. Sometimes when I was headed the wrong way, it was a brother or sister in the Lord that set me straight. And the body of Christ has done more for me to bless me than any other group outside of my actual biological family. Now, some of us, we don't have a good biological family. But still, you have your church family. So protect the godly relationships in your life. That's what Solomon is saying here. Not only that, but persevere in the godly relationships in your life. Persevere in these relationships. Do you realize that no relationship is easy? It takes work to maintain a relationship. And we need to persevere in the godly relationships that God has given us. And again, I know it's more than just the marital relationship, but I think one of the best examples is the marital relationship. In marriage, we have to persevere. You know, I've been doing a lot of marriage counseling lately. There's some folks who are getting married here in the spring, and just have had some opportunities to do that. And one of the things that I've always shared every time I share with a couple is before marriage, opposites often attract, but after marriage, if you're not careful, opposites attack. They attack one another. Those cute things that were endearing to you early on become things that are like, well, I can't believe he did that again. Or why won't she leave me alone? Why does she keep picking on me on this? And so we need to understand that we are stronger and better when we persevere in our relationships. And look, it's not just in marriage. The same thing's true in the church. You know what? God has put different types of people in this church with different spiritual gifts and different abilities. And some people are exhorters. And they're like my wife. My wife's an exhorter. And man, she could speak up here and she speaks with the anointing of the Spirit. And man, you're thinking, okay, I need to get out there and do a better job of witnessing. And other people have the gift of mercy. And they have just the knack of writing a card to you. Beth Mokhtar is such a great job of that. Man, she has lifted my spirits on many occasions. And others of us, man, we have the gift of faith. And Marianne Randall has such a gift of faith. She is not afraid of anything. She'd take on hell with a water pistol. And I love that. Man, I want to be involved with people like that. I want to be in a community with people like that. And all of you, I'm just naming a few people. I could name many of you in this church. You have special gifts and skills and abilities. And we need to persevere in that. Because you know what? The devil wants to put us apart, pull us apart. The devil wants to say, well, you're not like that person. Don't they get on your nerves? And I can't believe they handle things. I can't believe they think that way. We need to go this direction. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to bring dissension to the body of Christ. We can't let him do that. There is a motivational aspect to overcoming loneliness. Two are better than one. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I got to move on. Thirdly, there is a missional aspect. A missional aspect to overcoming loneliness. I think this is the most practical piece of advice. Well, there's one other that's even more practical, more important. But this is something very practical that you can do that will help you if you're lonely. You need to think missionally. Think missionally. And I'll tell you what, I'll explain what I mean by that here in just a second. Because not only do we need to recognize that we need healthy relationships for our own benefit, we need to look beyond ourselves and see that there's people that live right in our midst, or people that God is going to bring into our life who need healthy relationships. And some of the EGR people that God has in your life, you know what? They need someone to show them love. They need someone to model grace and someone to model appropriate behavior sometimes. And that's why those gang members get off into a gang and they get in the wrong area, because they need someone. And you could be the person, if you'll think missionally, who can bless others. And you can provide the relationship that they need. And not only that, but here's the beautiful thing, the most powerful thing of all. If you're lonely and you're hurting on the inside, and you'll reach out to somebody else, God will bless and He'll edify and He'll strengthen you. You can overcome your own loneliness, your own inferiority, and your own hurts and habits and hang-ups when you reach out with love and with compassion for someone else. God says, if you'll just quit wallowing around in your own self-pity, going around saying, I'm so lonely, nobody loves me, and God says, if you'll get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on my work and people that I want to bring into your path and look after the needs of others and minister to them, I'll cure you of your loneliness. I'll help you. Look, folks, if you're in the body of Christ, there is no need to be lonely. And if you're lonely right now, find a ministry. Now, I'm not saying you got to go to Africa, although I'd love for you to look at it if God puts it on your heart. You could do that. And you know what? Hopefully you've seen different average people get up here and talk about it. You'd think, hey, I can do that. There's nothing special about those of us that have been over there. Anyone can go over and minister in that way. But I'm talking about, you might have ministries to do right here. Man, we've got folks in our church that go every week to the nursing homes. What a great ministry. There are people there that are hurting and they need to hear a good word. They need to be encouraged. They need to sing the praises of the Lord every day. And there's guys that do that. So go to the nursing homes. Go to the hospitals. Go to the shut-ins. Go to people that are all alone. There's people live all around us, and some of them won't be here a year from now. And you have an opportunity, a window right now where you could minister to someone and speak into their lives. I don't care how lonely you are or what you're going through personally, there is someone who is lonelier than you that is out there. So you know what you need to do? You need to battle loneliness with compassion. Be compassionate like your Savior was compassionate. You need to battle loneliness with consideration. Be considerate of that person that's struggling right now. And thirdly, battle loneliness with cooperation. Cooperate with the larger body. Let's work together. Let's pull together. Let's reach out to that soul that is perishing, that person that is hurting, that person that may be thinking of taking their lives. I got a story I've got to share with you. This is one of my favorite stories. Let me get a drink here right quick, then I'll get my second wind. This is about a lady named Nancy. And this lady was paralyzed from the waist down. She was in a wheelchair all the time. And listen, she could have used that as an excuse. She could have just said, well, there's no hope. There's nothing I can do to minister. But she didn't. This was several years ago. She put an ad in a newspaper. And in that ad, I want you to listen to what she said. She said, if you're lonely, if you have a problem, call me. I'm in a wheelchair. I really can't get out. We can share our problems. I'd love to talk to you. Just a simple ad, and the results were amazing. Do you know that this lady, she got an average of 30 calls a week. All kinds of people sought her out, and so this lady that was confined to a wheelchair, she spent much of her time comforting, counseling, and witnessing. Some of you are asking, well, how did she end up in the wheelchair? She had attempted suicide. But God turned her life around. And rather than wallowing in self-pity, she said, what can I do? And she got her eyes on somebody else. And God healed her of her loneliness. He might not have healed her physically, but He healed her of the deeper needs in her heart. And He'll do that for you as well. Let me give you a verse that you can hang on to. I love this verse. I found this verse just this week. I know I've read it before. I've read the Bible through several times, but this verse really spoke to me this week. It's Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. And this is going to be on the screen. This is out of the Holman Christian Standard. It says, if you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be like noonday. That's talking about lifting depression, lifting loneliness out of your heart. The Lord will always lead you. He'll satisfy you in a parched land, and He'll strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose water never runs dry. What's the key to answering that promise in God's Word? It's reaching out, being compassionate to others who are struggling. So we've talked about the motivational. We've talked about the mental. We've talked about the missional. But there's one more we've got to talk about today. And there is a spiritual dimension, a spiritual dimension to overcoming loneliness. You know, we can kind of identify the reasons why we're lonely on this earth, and we can kind of identify what we need to do to get to the point where we need to be. But sometimes there's a deeper loneliness. There's something that nags deep in our heart that I want to talk to you about in these closing minutes, and it's the need of a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because we have all been wired as relational beings, and obviously we are to relate to one another. No man lives on an island, and it's not good for man to be alone. But do you know that God has also wired us to be relational spiritually? You're not just a human body. You're a spirit and a soul that's going to live on forever, somewhere. And God has wired you to have a desire to relate to your Creator. Now, you may not understand Him totally. None of us do. He's bigger than we are. His thoughts and ways are higher than our ways. But God has wired you to want to connect with Him. And if you aren't connecting with God today, If you don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, then you are lonely whether you realize it or not. You're trying to fill a hole in your heart that only God can fill. And some of these things we talked about, because you're lonely on the human level, is true on the spiritual level. And listen, there is nothing worse than spiritual loneliness. And there's something about spiritual loneliness that's even worse, and that's the fact that one day, if you don't reconcile with God, you're going to be eternally lonely. You're never going to be able to connect with your Heavenly Father. There's a window right now where you can connect with Him, but that window only comes in this lifetime. Once this life is over, it's too late. But as long as you have breath, as long as you can hear the Word of God, not only with your ears, but in your heart, and respond to it, you can deal with spiritual loneliness. So listen, if you are dealing with it on a spiritual level today, you need to understand three things, and I'm finished. No one understands the pain of loneliness like Jesus Christ. No one understands like Jesus. If you are all alone today, Jesus understands your loneliness. Do you know that Jesus was abandoned by His family? His family and his friends in His community didn't believe that He was really the Savior of the world, the Messiah. His own followers, the 12 that followed Him, abandoned Him. Even His Father abandoned Him when He was on the cross. That's why He said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If you're lonely today, you have a Savior. You have a Lord. Jesus Christ understands what it is. I don't care what you're going through today. He knows what it is to be lonely. But not only that, no one strengthens and sustains us through seasons of loneliness like Jesus. Jesus will help you through your loneliness. He will help you not only today, but through this season of loneliness. You may think, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this." Maybe your spouse passed away. Maybe you have gone through a divorce. Maybe you're just lonely right now because your life circumstances have changed. You're not working anymore. You're in a different transition of life. Do you know that God will walk through you, with you? Jesus will walk with you through this time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is lonely. Very lonely. He's an old man. He's coming to the end of his life and he's in prison. And it says in that passage, if you look at it, you don't have to turn there, but he says, "At my first defense," in verse 16, "no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me." I mean, he, on a human level, he is all alone. But I want you to listen to what he says next. And first he says, "May it not be counted against them." I love that. I love his attitude. No vindictiveness, no jealousy, no bitterness. Man, that's a man of God right there. But in verse 17, he says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Folks, if you're all alone today, the Lord will stand with you and He will strengthen you. Hold on to that promise right there. Just like He was with Paul in that prison, He'll be with you in whatever prison you find yourself in today. And He can break the bars of that prison. But lastly and finally, no one can save us from the pain of eternal loneliness like Jesus. You see, again, you're going to be eternally lonely if you don't come to Christ. He is the only way. He is the only one. And the person who is not saved has every reason to feel lonely. Every reason to feel estranged. Because you are. You are separated from God by your sins. You're disconnected from the one who can give you life. And you need Jesus. And there's no loneliness like eternal loneliness. So listen. Maybe the step you need to take today is to receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Maybe you need to bow your knee today. It takes courage to do that. It takes humility to do that. But you know what? The stakes are high. And today is the day of salvation. And maybe right now, this very time, during this invitation, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe today what you need to do is you need to just get plugged into the body. You need to reach out and be motivated to do something to get over the loneliness that you're facing. And I know we don't just get over it like that, but let God help you. Take positive steps rather than negative steps. And think about how through missions, through reaching out to others, God can ultimately heal you. Whatever it is you need to do today, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I know that there are lonely people in this room today. I know that all of us go through seasons or periods of loneliness. Whatever loneliness is costing you today, Would you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just take your next step of faith? It could be that you need to come to this altar in a minute and just pray. Maybe you need to pray a prayer of asking Jesus to come into your life, turning from your sins and asking for forgiveness. You need to be freed from the bondage of sin and slavery. Maybe you just need to pray right where you are. Maybe you just need to resolve to assess your situation and do whatever it takes to reach out and build and maintain godly relationships. Maybe you need to be more missional. That's kind of been a theme we've talked about today. And it's in the missional activity. It's not pointless. It actually will heal you. Whatever it is, today, I want you to find healing and hope. I want you to overcome loneliness. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to have our invitation. We're going to sing a song that talks about overcoming. And you need to come and not delay if this is a time where you need to come up and make a decision and take that next step toward Christ. Father, I thank you for this subject we have looked at today. I thank you for this series because we know that you understand that we are people who often are fearful. You say the word fear not many times in your word. And you don't want us to have a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and sound mind. And so help us with all of our fears. But particularly today, this fear of loneliness. Help us to overcome that fear. God, help us to be your vessels. Help us to be content with you and recognizing that your hand is with us no matter what season of life we find ourselves in. And I just pray that everyone who's heard this message has been strengthened and comforted and maybe given hope today. And whatever decisions need to be made now, Lord, we leave that in your hands. We give this invitation to you. We thank you, Lord, that you care about us. We thank you that you care about our emotional well-being and our spiritual well-being and physically as well. And so help us now, Lord, just to move and to take steps toward you. And you promise to meet us where we are. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you're a caring, merciful Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.